Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy Wallace, and I host the show. And today, I have another great guest on. Her name is Denise Paul. And Denise is going to tell me a little bit about herself. And we're actually going to open the phone lines to take readings because Denise also does readings. So hi, Denise. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Nancy. Thank you very much.
So Denise, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, what you do, how long you've been doing it.
Well, I have been reading runestones and tarot cards and energy and seeing entities and other beings for quite some time now, a good 20, 30 years. Runestones are quite fascinating, actually. They are an ancient Nordic tradition, about 2,500 years old. And the stones, there's 24, and they represent thought patterns. And it's very interesting because every thought that we have already exists, and it's within the subconscious, and so is the answer to it. The legend goes that Odin, and the name Odin represents the all-pervading spirit, and the word rune means whispered secrets. So the concept of the rune is to gather all the whispered secrets of the all-pervading spirit. And it is represented in certain symbols, and there's 24 of them that represent every thought that we could possibly come up with. Today, it would be better known as quantum physics. And the concept of the stones would be related to particles, atoms, and consciousness and energy. So it's an old tradition that has a more of an understanding today for us.
Okay, so what we're going to do, Denise, because people are going to be calling, we'll talk between the calls, but right now there is a person who calls, so let's take their call. Hi, caller. Caller? Hello.
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hi, Andrea.
What can I do for you?
Well, I would love to have any kind of reading with your stones. I've never had any such thing.
You've never had a reading? Well, welcome. This will be a very painless first experience. Let me ask you this. With all the things that are going on in your life, is there one thing that you have found a very strong ebb to do, something that you've had a great desire but yet not accomplished?
Yeah, there's been a great desire to create some artwork, like sculpture or something, and also just to feel like I'm being productive.
Okay, so what it is when you are moving in this flow of creativity, what you are tapping into is a great energy field that is around you. It is something that your soul has already given you a great gift to do. In the artwork, begin it. Go for it. Take that chance and plunge into it because it's going to be a great success for you. And there's going to be a lot of intuitive things that go into that artwork. And you're going to find that it's going to touch many people's lives.
Well, that sounds good.
I will also add to that, you're coming up with the star, which means God's blessing you for better things to come. So it's kind of like whatever you're trying to do, as long as, like Denise says, you follow through, it really is going to work. It will actually end up making some money for you, too, if you do it, because you come up with the best money card in the deck.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's worth it then, isn't it?
So use your creativity and don't doubt yourself. Very important.
Yeah. So, all right.
All right. Well, thank you.
Welcome.
Can I ask you about any more people coming into my life?
There will be more people coming into your life, but the most important focus for you now is to create your dream, because when you create your dream and walk in it, you are going to attach yourself to people that are not present in your life right now. That is where you're going to find more happiness. So follow that dream first, and you're going to create a platform and connections of those who resonate more with what your true dreams are. That's what you really want.
Okay, that sounds good. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Good night, ladies.
Thank you. Okay, so Denise, what we'll do is, if they call, we'll take the calls. But in between time, now, you have been doing this for about 25 to 30 years. When you first started having visions, let's say, did it kind of make you nervous? Did it scare you? How did you feel about that?
You know, I was blessed to have a great father who was very much into parapsychology and a mother and grandmother who were very intuitive in themselves. And my sisters also. It's a gift that runs in the family. My father's parapsychology, scientific, and gave me a great balance for what I saw. The entities that showed up, I would walk down the stairs and see people in the living room, in the rocking chair, hear parties. There was entities all over the place. I got used to it and learned not to be afraid of them and recognized some of them as my spirit guides.
Which, I think it's kind of important for people to understand. There's a lot of people, I'm sure, that are out there who have had, different entities appear and probably kind of freaked themselves out pretty bad. So could you maybe give some people some advice on how not to get freaked out if that happens?
Absolutely, absolutely. If you can picture yourself watching, looking at a fan, the fan is on off. You're on off, the fan's on off. You can touch the blades, you know it's there. Now, turn the fan on high. Those blades are moving incredibly fast. You don't see it, but it doesn't mean the blades aren't there. The blades did not vanish. So, just because you don't see something doesn't make it not there. The entities, the spirits, the ghosts, the beings that surround us are vibrating every particle of their being at a higher frequency, like high on the fan. All it takes is for us to raise our frequency to, say, medium. And those entities will lower their frequency just enough so that we can connect and communicate. We share our space and world with many, many things. Most of them are not bad. They're not evil. They're not creepy. Not like you see in Hollywood. Many of them are here for your benefit. When we come here, we bring many spirit guides and angels with us. They are with us, and they do not leave us. They are with us all the time. So it's releasing the fear. Knowledge is power, and knowing that there's more of a world out there and we are more than our bodies relieves us from that, and we welcome the communication.
Great. Now, when you decided to do the readings, why did you choose the rune stones?
They found me, actually. I was in Flagstaff, Arizona, and I was handed a book by a shaman. And after I looked at the book, I said, I know this. And I went to one of the Indian villages by a stream and found 24 black stones. And I remembered how to activate them. I painted the symbols on with blue, which represented spirit. And I looked at what they meant, and it came naturally, so I'm confident that I've used them before. They are a tool. The bones represent the rocks represent the bones of the earth. And when you're connected with nature, nature is our greatest teacher. There's no doubt about it. They are in tune with everything. So to understand the connection with nature and the oneness is the most profound secret that there is to knowing what's going on in your world.
And you also do the tarot cards. So when did you decide to do them?
You know, it's really interesting. I've always had a desire, and my father, once again, a great person in my life, bought me my first deck at a Renaissance psychic fair. And that was when I looked at them and used them. I'd take them in high school and sit in the halls, and people would come up to me for readings during classes. And then I started doing them at parties for kids and just never quit.
Well, that was pretty good.
It was very interesting, yes.
When you're doing or have done some tarot readings, has there been any particular reading that stands out that was kind of strange or creepy or may have scared you?
None were creepy, but what comes in most profoundly are their guides and big angels come in for people. And the readings that I do are not a typical, you know, 25 days something's going to happen at this time or this and this. I don't talk about your past. I talk about the energies of what you're really feeling inside and what these guides have been trying to get through, but we fail to understand their language or we don't listen. So angels often show up, guides often show up. Nothing, not even death, is really scary. It's a form of ascension, and it doesn't have to be painful or difficult.
Well, that's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
When people call you, because I know you do readings, so let's do this. Give out a phone number or some way that they can get a hold of you.
Okay. I can be contacted for setting up a reading at my email address at Flames of a Mentee, and that's FLAMES of OF, a Mentee, AMENTI, at yahoo.com. And if you send me an email with your phone number, I will contact you and we can talk about a reading.
Okay, and about how long do your readings take?
They can take 15 minutes to an hour, sometimes even an hour and a half. It would depend on what extents they want. I also am a Yeshui Reiki master teacher, and I do energy work and shamanic clearing and healing also. So sometimes all of that gets incorporated into it. It would depend on what the person needs.
Okay, so you can do the healings remotely?
Yeah.
Okay. When people say to you, Denise, because it's happened to me several times, because I do readings from all over the world, mm-hmm. and it's like they say, well, how can you possibly do that? You know, don't they have to be in front of you? And I tell them, no, they don't. You
mm-hmm.
know, I get energy no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So has anybody ever asked you that? How can you do the healings from remote?
Absolutely. See, the idea is everything is consciousness and energy. Thought does not begin in the brain. The mind sits about 30 degrees to the back of us. Thought begins in our energy field. With that in mind, I hear a call.
You go ahead. Keep going. You can explain it, and then we'll
okay.
take the call.
With that in mind, energy travels in straight lines. Thought is energy. It is light. It moves in straight lines. Once you connect to the consciousness of something, there's no limit. So distance does not matter.
That's great. All right, we do have a call. So, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Denise. How can I help you?
Hello there. My name is Brian. How are
Hi,
you,
Brian.
Ladies?
Very good, Brian.
I was just wondering, I've been feeling a lot of energy around me. And I was wondering what kind of angels or archangels around me or spirit guides and what's going on.
Yeah, you feel like little movement on your scalp, like someone's got little feathers or strings moving around you?
Hmm.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. What they're doing is they're trying to connect with you. They are actually doing work on you. When you're feeling that energy, they're opening up chakras because there's a great deal. You have many chakras in your body. It works the energy flow through you. They're trying to prepare you to raise your frequency. They're also activating certain parts of your brain to fire with a different form of energy than you've been used to firing. So you might feel a little pressure inside your head. They're working on that third eye, opening that crown. We actually have 12 chakras. It doesn't end at 7 or 8. It goes much further than that, and they're all around us. So what they're doing is creating in you a greater stream of energy so that you can vibrate and move faster with all the wonderful energy hitting the planet. There's a great deal of electrical force hitting the planet now. It's about the evolution of the human consciousness, and it should be an honor on your end to feel their presence because they love you dearly.
Yeah, I was wondering who's actually working with me or does it really matter?
You have quite a few. You have many, many that are. You've got about 15 at any given time that are with you. You have some that have been assigned to you, but there was a great call that went forth early in the 70s for those who wanted to walk in more light, and those who said yes were given all the assistance they could possibly need. And you were one of those that said yes, and you have
yeah.
a great deal of assistance. Yes, you were, I know.
I was born in the 70s, yes.
Yes. And so there are angels and many guides, very powerful beings around you. And you'll know them
yeah.
because your gut feeling is one way they are connecting with you and giving you direction and guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have another question?
They're giving me these little tingles in my feet. I feel a lot of heat in my back. I think
they're opening
chakras.
Up chakras. Is it right in the center of your back?
My solar plexus and toward the bottom, toward the middle of my back, yes.
Okay,
you have
chakras in the front, but there's also chakras that align the back. And
yes.
so because they're opening up the back parts of those chakras, not only the fronts, you're
mm-hmm.
going to feel that tingling sensation. So when you start to feel it, if you just picture the word in your brain and think open, the word open, and
yes.
take a breath and breathe it out, you're going to start pushing more energy out through there, and you're going to feel it spread. As if it's widening, and it is.
Yes, and one last thing is my spiritual gifts. Some say that I'm a healer, but I never really noticed that. Am I?
Let me ask you something. When you see someone who is ill or you see someone hurting, do you feel a need? Do you picture and look at them and see them as being healed? Is it something in you that you go,
It's an automatic thing, yes.
There you go. Now you know.
Yeah, it does work. But Brian, you've been having a hard time lately, though, haven't you?
It's a struggle, a little. Just trying to, not sure which direction. And also, I'm starting to play around with tarot cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if that would be a good thing to push for, to just focus my energy on given readings.
If it will help you to stay focused or focus it better, of course.
Yes.
You know,
it's a tool, and whatever deck you're drawn to is meant for you to use as a tool, definitely.
So you're coming up with a good victory card and success three times better than you think during these next 6 months with whatever you're trying to do. So this would be a really good time to stay very much focused, very much in tune, and just kind of allow what's, you know, going to be coming for you because you end up with the World, which is the best card in the deck.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure what kind of gifts I had, my spiritual gifts, you know. Some people are clairaudient, clairvoyant,
but
I wasn't
sure. Brian, if you just stay open, they'll show you what they are, and they'll show you how many you have.
Don't doubt yourself. There's no limit. Don't limit yourself mm-hmm. either. You are born psychic. You are very psychic. And psychic is even a limitation. You are walking in a higher form of every part of your being, and that is who you are. This should be normal for you. Don't be afraid of it. It's normal.
And also, don't worry. It's like you're worried about, you know, what's it going to do? How's it going to happen? You know, it's like you constantly have this thought of what, and who, and relax.
Sometimes I catch myself doing that, yeah.
Yeah, don't judge it.
No.
Allow. Just simply allow it to flow. And don't doubt yourself.
Relax. I mean, you're coming up with a lot of good things coming your way, so if you just relax and go with the flow, you've got a lot of good stuff coming. Okay.
I shall.
Feel better now?
Yeah, you ladies have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Denise, do you find it interesting that when a lot of people are starting to open up and start to find themselves kind of waking up, do you find it interesting how they want to doubt themselves?
They're afraid because they don't have the teaching that tells them this is how you are supposed to be. We've lived in shells, and it's like we've been walking, and we're asleep at to who we really are. And when they start to wake up, it's like little babies discovering a whole new world.
Mm-hmm.
It can be kind of scary for some of them, yeah.
When it comes to the ghost factor, a lot of people tend to think that there really isn't any such thing as ghosts. However, we both know that there are. So have you had any experiences with ghosts?
Yeah. My entire life has been, I think I had more ghost friends than I had people friends, pretty much. Yeah, they're definitely there. Now, some of them, you know, are very, the typical poltergeist, the haunting, the creepy ones. They like to move things and do stuff. I have not had to experience any lately, but there's a lot of, you know, ghostly activity out there. Besides it being October, there's a lot of activity, and people are finding, I'm getting more calls about people having entities around them and they're not knowing. Most of them have been positive. They are positive beings trying to wake them up.
When somebody first sees a ghost or feels a ghost, they have this tendency to think that they're probably just imagining everything.
Mm-hmm.
And even though their inner being knows that they are not, their whole mind goes on, oh, this must be pretend. Can you give maybe somebody a suggestion on how to allow that, and then we'll take this call?
Yeah. You know, when you realize that there is more out there than you, and you get that cold sensation or you feel another presence, acknowledge that you are aware of it and not doubt it. You're not going to see everything because our eyes are not designed to see that frequency. So we catch them out of the corners of our eyes. We catch the shadows moving. We feel the presence or someone touching us. You can even see someone sitting on the bed and the bed moving. But what you're doing is a lot of people now are seeing the little orbs of light. Those are entities. They are not bad. They are nothing to be afraid of. They're as a protection. They're checking everybody out. It's a matter of not doubting and knowing. You know, and connecting with others who have experiences give you more comfort and reassurance that you are not alone in this experience.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Can we hear your name, please?
Hi, my name is Jean.
And do you have a question?
Well, that kind of answered some of my question. I've been, through meditation, I've been seeing a lot of orbs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took pictures at my grandson's birthday party, and there were a lot of orbs there
mm-hmm.
on the pictures. And there were two blue ones and one pink one, and the rest were white. And I just wondered if the colored ones have a significance to the white ones?
You just think of it like this. Color is also a frequency, and it is just the frequency that entity is vibrating. And some of them, you'll notice, are bigger than others too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it is just a matter of frequency that they're lowering themselves to be in this density. The color really doesn't matter. It's just the frequency that they are using. It's like, what color lipstick are you going to wear today? It doesn't matter. You're still you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So keep taking those pictures, all right?
In the meditation, I just had like little lights dancing all over, and then little faces were coming, so...
Those are beings who are assisting you. They are there with you. Oh, so acknowledge them and keep a good open communication with them. Don't fear them. Welcome them in. They're there anyway. It's just that you've shifted the consciousness within your mind and you're able to focus and see them now. So really it's you that is changing. And believe it or not, they may look like that they are spinning and moving around you, right?
Yes.
It's really you moving. You're
okay.
Really the one moving. It's just like an optical illusion.
Okay,
so you are doing,
wonderful.
Yeah.
So continue with your growth there, okay?
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Denise, do you think a lot of the children of today come here with a great deal of higher intelligence than, you know, say we had 20 years ago?
Absolutely. They come here knowing who they are. We came here forgetting and having to find it. Most of these children come here already knowing. There's nothing for them to find. They come here also not getting along with the structure that the old people, the older generations of the past have set up. That structure is falling, and they defy structure, and they don't like the rules. So they're changing how things are. They are the prodigies of the new way the world is going to function, which is definitely, the world's been declared a planet of peace. And even though they may seem feisty and they might want to, they're breaking down old structures, but they are here to help move forth a planet of peace.
And I think it's important. A lot of people, you know, they categorize these kids as having ADD and ADHD, and I really have a hard time with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's kind of like they just need to be able to be who they are. They're here to actually teach us a whole bunch of stuff, and yet we think we know it all, so we're mm-hmm. not listening to the kids.
Oh, yes, I have two of them, and they have changed me and how I see the world, and that is most of their focuses. And so for the mothers and parents out there who have these children who are, they just seem like they're wild. They have so much energy. They are pretty much standing in two worlds at the same time, and they look at ours and go, this is messed up. There's no love down here. There's all these rules. This is such silliness. And so they don't comply, and because they don't follow what we consider proper behavior and comply, they are labeled, and that is where the mistake comes. It's an understanding, and I agree with you that these children come in here knowing who they are, and they are here to change us. And they are they're in little bodies, but they're still very old beings, and they are very wise.
Yes, they're very old, very wise. I have a granddaughter like that too.
Mm-hmm.
No handful, let me tell you. But a lot of people, they don't understand these kids, and again, they think that they're wild, they misbehave, you know, they all have these behavioral problems. And it's like, no, just sit back, let these kids kind of teach us what we need to know.
And absolutely, kind of, and if you look at them in their spirit, in the astral, they are busy, and they're happy, and they're excited, and they're tapped into all of this wonderful energy. And a lot of these kids can hold a higher abundance of great energy than most of the older individuals that have shut it off because of society and social consciousness are used to. And so, yeah, to some of the older generation, they are wild and crazy, but they're moving forth with great energy. And because it's so powerful, you can't really be still. They know to move, and they're releasing it and moving it around. They're very smart.
They're very smart. And I sit here and I look at them. And in fact, Denise, I don't know if you know this, I have a 501c, it's a nonprofit called A Child's Miracle Mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to help these kids that are here not have to be on these drugs, and to help the ones that are on these drugs that really shouldn't be on the drugs to get off the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's going to be turning into what's called the School of Now, which means it's a school that's never outdated.
I love that. That is perfect.
Yeah,
the School of Now, yes.
You know, except, believe me when I tell you this, the people that are here now with their systems don't want to hear it.
That is very true, because it's all about the money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about power and control, and those who are ruling all of the governments, called like the gray men. Everyone in their society is all about the big buck.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We know better than that, though, don't we?
Yes, we do. And for those mothers who have these children, there are times when you don't know what to do with them. It's about going over, and sometimes it's just a matter of hug. Love is the glue that holds the whole universe together. Doesn't matter. It is the ultimate power. It is supreme. And the hug that you can give that child when they don't know what to do with all this energy that's twirling around from all of these people, that's when they need that hug the most.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Hello, my name is Mary, and I was just listening to what you were saying about the children.
Uh-huh.
Are they not also here to help to move us further into the light and move the planet into the light?
Oh, yes, they are.
Isn't that
yes,
part
they
of
are.
It?
Yes, they are here for that. Yes.
Okay. How can people help them since they are being deemed, you know, ADD and all of that?
If you actually just try to relate with the kids better, you know, a lot of people try to tell these kids what to do. It's like they want to command these children to go sit down. Well, these children aren't going to be commanded. So if you say to them, could you do me a favor, maybe help me out, maybe have a seat, they're more likely to do that than if you give them a command.
They don't do commands well. Even
not
when I tell my daughter, let's go wash your hair, she's like, don't control me, I'll wash it when I'm ready. And she's four.
Right.
Okay, that's fine. And then we realize how bossy and controlling our society is and how often we do that as parents. And we give them orders, and we wouldn't give those orders to our own parents. We would ask them much more politely. They deserve a great deal of respect. They should not be treated as they know less than us, because indeed, they are more aware than we are.
Very much so. So do you have a child or know somebody that does have a child?
No, I have a friend who has one, but I don't know how to help, or I don't want to interfere.
Well, you know what you can do? They are very, very intuitive. So even without saying a word, if you can just send them a mental message, they will get it. They
okay.
will pick it up. Okay?
Okay.
So you don't necessarily have to say anything, but you can tell them that they're loved, that they're wanted here, that we understand they're a little different. You can do all kinds of stuff like that, but just send it to them mentally. They will get it.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. I talk about kids a lot, Denise, with mm-hmm. my show, only because, you know, they're such a mix-up with the kids of today. And I really feel kind of sorry for them, because they're coming in with their total their vibrations being so much higher than ours
mm-hmm.
and having to lower their standards to meet ours.
Indeed they do, and that's why a lot of the parents are choosing to homeschool their children so that they don't have to conform to structures and ideals.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps them more open, and sometimes that does work better.
I would think so. My granddaughter is a perfect example. Again, you know, she's 7 going on 30.
Mm-hmm, because they're old. They're wise. They're very wise.
Very
and they're
wise.
Very on top of things.
Mm-hmm. Now, you used to live in Sedona.
I lived in Flagstaff, right near Sedona. I got
okay.
my Yeshui Master's in Energy Healing in Sedona.
Okay. So the energy that everybody talks about in Sedona,
mm-hmm.
can you maybe explain that to the listeners a little bit?
Sedona is known as one of the chakra points on the earth, and it's very important because the natives respected the energy that comes up from the planet. But what happened is when all of the settlers came and saw this beautiful land and commercialized it, they began to put a damper on what that energy was, and today the energy has shifted a great deal. It is, however, going to be activated once again fabulously, and it's also connected to the energy grids of the Great Pyramids in Egypt. So what they're along the same lines, the ley lines. So what happens in one end also happens in the other. So if we look at the balance at the other end, what's happening in Egypt, and see the other balance, what's happening in Sedona, we'll see how it weighs out. The more positive things we switch in Sedona, the more it's going to affect that land there in Great Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So the energies that are there, the shamans who spent many days on the mountains and so forth, they knew the land was sacred. But it's been distorted and commercialized, and so a lot of the energy spots have altered. However, that's going to change, and it's going to be in a great, great powerful force once again.
It needs to be, because a lot of people in just, you know, different places would take all of their old gunk and crap, go to Sedona, drop it into the ground, take all the good stuff away.
Absolutely. Then they'd buy all of their pretty little trinkets that they thought would change their lives and leave. But their lives didn't really change. They just left junk in Sedona and spent money, and the commercial people were just thrilled. And then the cycle kept growing and growing. Even in Flagstaff, the Native Americans, we were right by the Hopi and Navajo Rez, and they, the mountain, the Kachina Mountains by me, were very sacred, and they turned it into a ski resort. And after they did that, there was not snow for many years to even open a ski resort. So it isn't taking something sacred and commercializing it and making a profit off it is a great distortion of a truth. And that's when people become very confused.
Are there other areas across the United States that are kind of like Sedona that people may not quite know about just yet?
There are some very strong, powerful spots, and some of them are going to become more powerful and activate as the Earth changes start to take place. There are, you know, the way it works is the way the energy fields coming up from the center of the Earth and the magnetics. Now, the magnetics are changing, and with that, some of the things that are going to be activated are shutting down, and it's reversing. What is important to know, because people don't need to migrate to these places, is that you can create that wonderful energy and sacred space where you live. All it takes is a knowingness of how to use stones, crystals, and knowing how to build a pyramid that is aligned to the magnetics, the true north and true south poles. And you will create a fabulous energy field around you. And that is what is most important. And that pyramid shape, especially after the Great Pyramids, it was designed by an entity known as Ra Taben, and that entity designed it to replicate the soul. The soul also resides in a pyramid form. And what it does is it circulates the energy in a fashion. And that pyramid was created to remind man of the God within him and who we really are. It still stands, and it will still stand for quite some time. So within your own place, so you don't have to feel you spend money to migrate someplace, you can create this and make the energy move around you. We're all living on ley lines. There are energies all over. It's just a matter of clearing them and utilizing them and walking in that knowledge. And the knowledge is available.
If somebody wanted to find out that knowledge, where would they go get it from?
Okay. There are some very interesting books about creating your own sacred space. One is Ramtha, A Master's Reflection of the History, Part 2, and you can get that on Ramtha's website. There's one called Soul Evolution Father, and it talks about the sacredness of the land and so forth, and that is a book that was actually channeled through some higher entities, and that can be purchased from a Light Technology Publishing based in Flagstaff, and it is a book that was channeled by Jehovah, actually, channeled through Jehovah by a gentleman named Arthur Fanning. And it talks a lot about the pyramids and the energy that is within us and the energy of the soul within us and its evolution. Most phenomenal teachings. There are many others on the Louise Hayes site that will talk a little bit about it, but the sacredness of the land will be in a lot of the Native American teachings. It's worth investigating.
Mm-hmm. Ramtha is actually an entity that comes through J.Z. Knight.
Yes, he is, yes.
And I've really liked her for a long, long time.
I'm very fond of them myself.
Yeah, because some of the things that I heard them come through with, I thought, well, now it explains where I've been. You know?
It does. It does. And it sets history straight. We've got our history quite backwards, and we've ignored nature. And the basis of the knowledge was to watch nature. Nature knows. Nature is our greatest teacher. We all have within us the ability to know when magnetic fields in the earth is changing and seasons are changing. But we ignore it. So if we watch the animals, we'll know things that are coming. If you don't know how to listen, pay attention to nature. When you don't see the birds anymore, you better pay closer attention and move, because something is definitely happening. When the bugs start to come up or the animals act differently, something is changing. The sun's already changed where it is. The sun's not in the same place, following the same path as it normally does. We've noticed that a while back.
Mm-hmm.
The sun's altered.
They talk about the year 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain a little bit more about 2012?
2012 was based on a date from the Mayan calendar, which symbolized the end of time, a time frame as we know it. We are now in a space, according to the Mayan calendar, called no time, where time actually is shrinking. Time is linear. We are living here on a very linear plane, so you have to have a point A and a point B. It's all linear. But in these other dimensions, time does not exist. There is the now, and they are living only in the now, which is why the idea of eternity exists. So we are here, and for the past 6,000 years, we've been quite destroying our planet. She is a living entity. The Earth, Gaia, is a living entity. Every particle has free will. Everything within that particle makes up all of this dimension here, all of our bodies and the earth, the plants and everything that lives. But yet we have forgotten how to be good caretakers of this beautiful Garden of Eden. And we've destroyed it. We've sucked the oil, which is the blood from the earth, out of its veins. We've polluted the waters and the air and everything that goes with it. So the earth is in great turmoil. And its zippers, or the Pacific Ring of Fire, it is in distress. It is definitely moving, and so are the plates. They are moving. The mantle that the plates sit on is heating up. We are in for a great ride, and most of it was caused by the extravagance of human nature not respecting the planet.
Which I totally...
And yes. And so for 2012, we are reaching a point where the sun is going to reach another cycle. It is going to have immense solar flares. It is part of the sun cycle, but this cycle is going to be very mean. It's going to be very mean. So that means satellites and electrical will not function in the same fashion. So 2012 does not mean the end of life. It means the end of our society and civilization as we know it, which means that those who are more, the higher that you vibrate in your body with a frequency of light, the more you will pass through all of the grids that exist here. if you don't, passing through these grids would be like a mosquito hitting a wall at 1,000 miles an hour.
It's a big sweat.
It's quite profound. We are living on a grid system. It's all energy. All of this here is energy. The reality is we've forgotten that. And so we've got a lot to be accountable for, actually. And so nature itself is going to call us accountable. When the Mayan calendar of 2012 speaks about the Earth pole shifting, it certainly will. Are we going to escape it? No, we won't. Pay attention to nature. There are safe places in nature. And that's why they're called sacred and holy places, because they were safe last time when this happened. This time there's quite a bit of people on the planet.
And a lot of the people are not going to make it without a doubt.
You know, I was going to say that, Nancy, but I thought I'd let you say it first. Yeah, a lot of people are not going to make it. Why? Because they are living in their past. They are connected to everything in the past. They are attached to material things. They have many, many attachments. We are more than our bodies. We are more than this world. Actually, everything exists within us. When you understand the teaching that all is one, everything is consciousness and energy, and we affect each other by our words, and the ripples in time just continue. It is there. When we understand and can embrace everyone as a part of us, what we do here affects people on the other side of the planet. It most certainly does.
Mm-hmm.
And we have forgotten the oneness in the teaching. We're playing the game of separation. But you know what? This arena that we're playing in right now is about to reach game over. And so this is where the evolution of human consciousness increases tremendously. Those who can vibrate at the higher frequency of the other dimensions, which are simply vibrating at a higher frequency, will be able to stay there, because there our thoughts are going to manifest instantly. Down here it takes a while, it takes a few minutes, sometimes years, and we forget even what we wanted to manifest, but it still happens. But there it's going to happen incredibly fast. So if we have not learned the responsibility of our thoughts down here, we're not going to make it through the grids when they stop and everything shifts to remain there in that dimension. We are truly reaching a golden age. However, there's a lot of cleanup work on the planet first, and it's going to shake, it's going to quake, and many, many people will not survive it because they are not prepared.
Right. See, and I call it the Earth actually shedding itself of excess debris.
Yes, it is. I mean, you figure all the diapers that all these children have had to wear, I myself, without really consciously paying attention, and you figure the millions of things that are not biodegradable that we have just, where does it go? The Earth has got to burn it. And the lava tubes that have seemed dormant will not remain dormant. A lot of these things, with all of the plate shifting, they may have been dormant for the past few thousand years. They're not going to be dormant anymore. So the Earth, by fire, is going to clean, and by much, much water. When the plates shift, the water is going to go over much of the land. The coastal regions are not safe. They are not. I mean, you can stay there and experience it if you want. Some people choose to experience it. A lot of people have already decided they are not going to pass through, and they've already lived a course. See, everything that we're doing, before we come here, our soul understands what we need to accomplish. And so, in a quantum manner, it's writing out every experience it's going to have in its next life, which would be the one you're living right now. And in that fashion, we get down here, completely forget the whole agenda, and we go through here blindfolded. While we are here, it is not a good or bad, right or wrong. We are having experiences, and the soul understands the wisdom because it knows the emotion. When we master the emotion in an experience, the soul gains wisdom. We balance out some of the karma, and we can evolve and grow on. The soul resides near the heart, connected to the upper left chamber. It is a higher frequency of electricity called electrum. Now, light moves throughout everywhere, but light lowered in this frequency becomes electrum, and lowered again, and it becomes electrical, and again into mass. But it's the electrum that keeps us alive. It is manifesting our body as we speak. So in all of this, the soul is gaining wisdom, and it desires to expand. Indeed, it's going to go much larger than the body and the aura, and then it will encompass right above the head, and that is called displaying your soul star. It is the evolution of our species that is happening. Those who do not choose to evolve, no problem. There is really no judgment. But they will be allowed to live in another place, another arena or planet is there for them. However, that next planet, its atmosphere is going to be not oxygen, hydrogen. It's going to be methane. So think about the methane. It's not very sweet smelling, is it? So these people who still have many dramas and angers and control and the tyrants to live out are going to find themselves reincarnating for another 32,000 years in a cycle of a planet whose atmosphere is methane. So the human body is going to be altered. So this is really where you do it. You can't do it up on the other planes. To change everything, this is your moment in this physical body, and it is a great honor to be here and be physical. We are now center stage for every being everywhere. Even the eyes of God have turned his head and looked, and they're watching. We are very important. What's happening now has never happened before. The entirety of the whole system of evolution is shifting. This is a big deal. This is a very big deal. That's why there's so much assistance here. And so for everyone listening, you are not alone. There are many, many entities who are with you, and they are guiding and trying desperately to get your attention. They want to see you succeed in everything that your soul has desired to learn, because this is part of the evolution of you and who you are. And it is a profound experience. So consider another 32,000 years on a place where its atmosphere is methane. This is your moment to change your life, let go of your past, and decide. It's called being frequency specific. If you are frequency specific and say, I will make it through these earth changes, I see myself beyond the next few years, the next 3 years, let's say even four, into a place where you have survived and you are prepared, you are being frequency specific. You know you will make it through. It's like taking a kite. You're holding the string, but the kite's way up in the air. You don't see the string anymore, but you know it's there because you're holding it, and you still see the kite. So you are creating a frequency to something along a line and saying, I am choosing the probability of my future. Some things are absolute, yes, but now I'm going to alter it. And I'm changing some of the realities in my life because I have a conscious knowing, and I'm taking charge and responsibility.
See, that's the part right there that a lot of people don't get, taking the responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
To make the changes, to go do what they need to do. People are very lazy today.
Yes, they are.
And they don't want to do that because they assume somebody else is going to do it for them. But that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's always been easier to blame everybody else, and everyone's been so accustomed to being in a victim mentality and having those rule over them to think for themselves and say, I created this, I am responsible for it, this is me. Now, if I created it, I can change it. Mm-hmm. So it's taking your power back, too, but it's also taking the responsibility back. And that frightens a lot of people. They don't know how to handle such great responsibility, but they're doing it all the time anyway.
Mm-hmm. They just don't realize that.
That's very true. That's very true. And that's why even something like The Secret that has come out, it is a very ancient, ancient teaching that is sent now to enlighten the next wave that are starting to wake up,
mm-hmm.
to encourage them and move them along.
Which is also needed because they need to be encouraged to move along.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that was done in a gentle fashion, yes. And a lot of the quantum physicists who were on that DVD, The Secret, were also connected with a lot of Rontha's teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very renowned scientists of their own right. So they have a great understanding, and they are moving and pressing things forward for the future.
Which, again, is very important, I think, for the future.
It's very needed, yes. It's a very strong part of the future, I agree.
If somebody called you up, Denise, and got an appointment with you to do a rune stone reading, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could you just maybe explain, you know, briefly how you would go about doing it? So say
sure.
I called, okay? Say I called and I said, hey, Denise, I need to have a reading.
Mm-hmm. All right, then I would ask you to think of a question. Think of an intent, what it is you want to know. If you have something specific, keep it in mind. Otherwise, think of something, the general direction of my life, what do I need to see, so on and so forth. What happens is, in the subconscious, everything is already known, from pi to everything that has been and will be. So your subconscious already knows the thought. What happens is, as I'm choosing a stone, I just put my hand, I don't even have to look at it. My subconscious also knows it, and I'm connecting with you through a subconscious fashion. It's just energy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I choose a stone, and, you know, guides like to show up, and they give you a little direction, and I'll pick the stone that resonates the most with you. And in that fashion, I have chosen a stone that represents an answer to a thought, and thought is light. Thought is unlimited. It moves in straight lines. So with that in mind, it's the concept of knowing energy and the power of the mind. It isn't really magical. It isn't, you know, there's no magical cure. Magic was misunderstood. It is just a form of science that back then was displayed to unlearned people, and so they became afraid because they were taught fear.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the principle of the runestone. Just like if you wanted tarot, it would be the same thing. I'm still connecting with you, and the cards are displaying a great elaborate picture where the stones represent in very simple lines called staves a thought form. And they have quite a bit of their own. Even in a rune reading over the phone, it still comes out to like 3 or 4 stones, depending on how much. Now, if you are here with me, and you are the one holding the stones in your hand, it is your subconscious telling the fine motors between the spine and down your arm into your fingers which stone it is. This way you're picking it, you put it down, and we look at together what it is, so that you know that the power of being psychic, per se, is also in you. It's in every human mind.
Mm-hmm. Again, I think that's important to know, because a lot of people, I think they might think they're a little psychic, but they really have got a great deal of psychic ability within themselves if they want to open up and listen.
Yes, I agree. They're very psychic. It's all the same brain.
Yeah, it is. And
mm-hmm.
when we understand that a little bit better, I think more people will say, hey, you know, I've had this all along.
Yes, and they didn't realize that it was them. And it's very important to acknowledge your manifestations. When you see something, don't discredit it and say, oh, well, that's coincidence and so forth. You know, our thoughts are definitely creating things. It's important to acknowledge if you've had a thought. It's like saying if you saw someone opening up some candy and you thought, I'd like a piece of that candy. And in a few minutes, someone offers you a piece of candy. Hey, guess what? That is a manifestation, and they're offering it to you. It would be a lacking in your acknowledgement just to not take it. Receive what you wanted to manifest. And it's a very simple process, but it works with absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm. And again, I think people are starting to understand that, you know, with some of the teachings that have started to come out, like The Secret was one of them, and there's been many others. And I think people can, without a doubt, start to manifest if they really, you know, choose to do that. And I agree with you, Denise, it's important that you let that be known that you have done it and say, honor it, because I did that.
Absolutely. And then you learn how to not doubt yourself. You understand the mind works in pictures. It understands pictures. It's a language of pictures. And when you understand, if I say to you, do you remember the ice cream cone you ate yesterday? Or remember what you had for breakfast? Okay, all of a sudden you're thinking, and then you picture, oh, that bagel. You picture it. There's a picture, but you're not seeing a picture with your eyes. That is the kind of symbolism that the brain uses when you're seeing pictures. It's acknowledging that first impression, that imprint. It moves very quickly. And people they discredit that first one. And that's usually what's right.
Mm-hmm. And that's when I do the rings, that's why I try to tell people, you know, trust that first good feeling, because if you don't, you're going to live to regret it somewhere down the line.
Absolutely, absolutely. And even when we hesitate, then the issue comes in where all the voices in the brain and the brain starts to fight. The brain gets it last. The heart gets it first. And the knowingness, it comes from the soul. Knowingness and passion are two expressions of the soul. The other ones are part of the emotional body. And all of the times people are reliving things, it is merely that you have a memory, but it's a chemical imprint in the frontal lobe of the brain. However, there's also an emotion attached, and there's that trigger. So when you keep thinking about things in your past, notice that it triggers an emotion, and you're feeling it all over again. Why? Because that pituitary gland has now released chemicals and hormones in your brain, and it's saying, we remember this, and now you are reliving an experience based on a chemical emotion. We are a walking bag of chemicals, yes. And so now you've got this emotional experience, and if it's not a positive one, you're feeling great stress in your body. That does take a toll on you after a while. You will always have the memory, but you can detach the trigger that connects the emotional connection to it. And that is a good way of being freed from your past, because every time you feel that emotion connected to something in your past, you send yourself right back to that past.
Yeah, and people, unfortunately, have a tendency to want to constantly do that.
Absolutely, because they don't realize that they're really sending themselves back. And they're not moving forward. You cannot create a future if you're not in a present now moment.
Mm-hmm.
If you're always in the past, there won't be a future because you're always in the past.
Yeah, and then they say, why does my life keep going the same way it's done? Last 10 years, all I've had is a lot of troubles, a lot of problems, a lot of worries. I wonder why it keeps doing that.
And then after such a long period of time, they've literally become the brain has become addicted to that chemical release, and it needs that rush.
Mm-hmm.
So then you've got to wean yourself slowly off of the chemicals naturally produced within the body. That creates even more knowledge that is needed. Absolutely.
Now, you also made a statement about the land changing, which I tend to agree with you a whole bunch. Edgar Cayce, when he was in one of his sessions, had a map actually drawn of the world that showed what the changes were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Matrix Institute designed a map according to the scientific knowledge. And when they put those two maps together, they were almost identical.
Absolutely. The Earth is definitely going to change. Yeah, Edgar Cayce was quite wonderful as the sleeping prophet. He was phenomenal. And even though he did predict a lot about Atlantis, too.
Mm-hmm.
Atlantis is, some of its islands are what we see as the mountain ranges, you know, over in the British Isles, in Scotland and Ireland, yes. But the entirety of the southern part of the continent is literally what Antarctica is. And it's just covered with three layers of ice. And when the Earth shifts back, it's going to tilt 3 degrees at first, and then that continent is going to move up back to the spot that it was in previously in the Atlantic. And the ice now is melting underneath it. I looked on the web, and it's showing Antarctica having rivers of water running underneath the layers of ice. It's melting from beneath and coming up. But the top part of that ice is also going to melt, and you will find the entirety of the city of Atlantis in all its beauty completely intact running. It's workable.
It would be really great if I was still alive to see all of it.
You will be.
I'm hoping, because that's what
you will be. It's not going to be but another few years. We're talking less than five.
Yep, that's what I keep telling. I was shown my visions as 2010 actually starting to be a definite change.
Well, that would agree with all of the other teachings and those channeled materials that are coming through. The entities are letting us know 2010 is it. You know, even 2008, mm-hmm. there is a grand potential for an underwater earthquake to take place, which will create a great tsunami because the tectonic plates, perhaps along the mid-Atlantic Rim, are going to shift. And that tsunami will touch America's shores. It will touch other countries also. And it will be a great wake-up call to those who are not paying attention. Come 2009, it's going to be quite sticky, and by 2010, it's going to be a drastic change, which is why setting up some things for yourself would be a wise choice. And knowing why you live where you live, if you live on the coast or on a fault line, consider why you live there. What do you really choose to experience? And is the prettiness of what you're looking at now that important? Because in a few years, it won't be there ever to be seen for quite some time.
No, it won't. That's why I'm moving.
Yes. Go to higher ground. You know, and it's interesting because the Earth has to have more water and precipitation for a certain period of time because the electrical currents will move, and the electrum that I spoke of earlier moves through water. Water is what moves it. And with the evolution of human consciousness, there will be more water for a time. It is definitely needed to help elevate and move that energy through the human consciousness. And there's going to be a point, too, in the next few years where Indiana, with all of the stresses, is actually going to crack in half.
Mm-hmm.
So when you ask for Indiana, you'll say which one, because it'll be a crack.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of changes. People, if you want to go look at a future map of the world, you can go to matrixinstitute.com. They have it on there. So the things that Denise and I have just been talking about as far as the land changes, there is a map there that shows what Edgar Cayce thought compared to what the scientific method has come up with. So that would be interesting for anybody who is listening. Just kind of check out to see what lands are going to be here, what lands are going to be underwater, who's going to crack, who's going to split, because there's many, many changes coming. Denise, again, please give out the website or somehow people can get a hold of you in case they'd like to talk with you further.
Wonderful. My email address is Flames of Amenti, and that's F, flame as in fire, F-L-A-M as in Michael, E-S as in Scott, of, O-F, Amenti, AMENTI.com, Flames of Amenti, at yahoo.com.
Spell it one more time so they get it right.
F as in Frank, L-A-M as in Michael, E-S as in Snake, of, O-F, Amenti, A, M as in Michael, E, N as in Nancy, T as in Tom, I as in it, .com.
There you go. You know what, Denise, I'm going to say this on air, and I was going to tell you earlier today when we talked, Denise and I have actually been connected before with her parents, which mm-hmm. I did not know mm-hmm. until, you know, you made mention of it and my daughter made mention of it, because it didn't relate to me that Meredith was your sister.
My wonderful psychic little sister, yes. She figured it out.
You know, and she goes, oh, yeah. And so when we were talking about it, I thought, you know, that is true. I did know your parents.
Yes, you did.
So, you know, that's kind of a neat connection to have to, you know.
It is. You know, and I left here searching for something, and I certainly did find it and said I'd never come back to Illinois, and I got spit back here. And it took me forever even to change, you know, the things and the connection to Arizona. And so once I accepted that I had to be here for a reason, and definitely my lovely sisters and brother and all of my family, it was important. Now after making connections once again with you and others, I am very grateful that I came back. I really am.
And so am I, because it's quite interesting.
We're
talking about the Chicagoland area, because that's where we're both from, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one more time, Denise, give out your website so that they can get a hold of you.
Okay, my email address is flamesofamentee@yahoo.com. And that's F as in Frank, L A M as in Michael, E S of O F, Amentee, A M as in Michael, E T as in Tom, I as in it, @yahoo.com.
Great, Denise. It's been very, very enlightening to have you as my guest.
Pleasure, Nancy. Thank you so much.
We'll have to do some more of these sometime.
That would be wonderful.
You take care, Denise.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're very welcome. And I'd like to thank you, the listeners. You've been listening to The Metaphysical World and More. Hopefully you'll tune in again next week. So may God bless all of you. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you later. Take care. Bye now.